Good morning. I apologize for being a moment late. I just had a bit of difficulty getting a cab. It's nice to stay where I stay, where it's quiet and all that, but when it comes to a Saturday morning when nobody's going to work and there's no cabs around, I'm sorry. Just as the song was now playing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," let us just quickly pray. Father God Almighty, we come to you this morning, Father God, for our souls to bless your name, to bless your holy name. Father God Almighty, we just speak, Lord God, that as few as we are, Father God Almighty, that you are always present with us when we gather in your name. And Father God, we speak that this morning, that as we gather, Father God Almighty, that you will be with us and that your spirit reigns supreme, Father. I submit myself, Father God Almighty, to this, your servants, Father God, and to you this morning. And I submit myself, Father God Almighty, to your word. And Father God, we speak that there be a revelatory aspect to your word this morning, and that we gain insight from studying your word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to be speaking on Psalm 3. As many of you would know, some of you would know that this was on Jackie's heart. He was due to speak this morning, but he had to tend to his daughter last night, who was in hospital. And I take it she's progressing well. Hey, Sandeep? She's progressing well. And as we know that the fathers are alone this weekend with the kids. And it just so happens to be the weekend that his wife also gave the helper off. I suppose she threw him the deep end in. And but he's at the hospital and she's recovering well. And we praise the Lord for that. And we thank the Lord for everything having gone well. And him being the father and the loving father that he is, that he was there to support her. So she didn't feel any omission of love, covering and protection. She knew that her father was there. It's a wonderful thought. Man, you know what, Holy Spirit, thank you for that. It's a wonderful thought to always know that your father's ever present, you know. This morning I'm going to be speaking on Psalm 3. It's a psalm of David. It's a psalm that was written in the circumstance when King David fled from his son Absalom. It's a morning prayer of trust in God. And I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. That's the word of the God, and praise be the word of the God. So this morning, as we look at the Psalm of David, written in the circumstance when he fled from his son Absalom, my subtitle for the message is, deal with your delegation, do your duties. And why do I make this assertion? Well, let's look at the circumstance in which the psalm was written. The preceding story to Psalm 3 was about Absalom, the third son of King David, by his wife Maacah, daughter of Talmai, the king of Geshur. The bulk of Absalom's story is actually told in 2 Samuel from 13 to 19, chapters 13 to 19. And he had a strong influence on his father's reign. Just a brief synopsis of the story of Absalom and the circumstance surrounding Psalm 3 is that the first recorded event defining Absalom's life also involved his sister Tamar and half-brother Amnon. Tamar was beautiful and Amnon lusted after her. Now, Amnon was the half-brother of Tamar and Absalom. And when Tamar rebuffed Amnon's advances because he made advances to his half-sister, he arranged through a subterfuge to have her come to his house where he actually raped her. And after Amnon, who so lustfully desired after his sister, after he raped Amnon, after he raped Tamar and put her out of his house in disgrace. He treated her even badly and he hated her even more than what he loved her, the word says. The Bible says that as much as he loved her and desired after, after he had committed the deed and he had words with her and she begged of him not to be so disgraceful, first and foremost, not to illegitimately and incestuously lay with her, he then put her out and she was then disgraced. And his half-brother Absalom, he took refuge over Tamar. And he took Tamar into his house and he took care of her. But Absalom didn't act immediately against his brother Amnon. Absalom actually hosted his sister Tamar for 2 years. And for 2 years he didn't speak bad, he didn't speak good nor bad about his brother. But then 2 years later, he arranged for a party, a festival to take place at his house, and invited all his brothers, all King David's sons. And he instructed his servants that because Amnon was known to enjoy wine quite a bit, and he said after Amnon was to be jolly with wine, then the servants should kill him. And he instructed them and told them why should they doubt him, because he instructed them themselves. Now, Absalom was a very popular, King David's most popular son. They said he had the stature of his father, and he was very good looking, and he was well aware about the fact that, you know, he was very good looking, and he was popular amongst the people. And he always had the best around him, the best clothes. He always had 50 servants walking ahead of him and all that. He had all the pomp and swagger about being a royal member of the royal household. And, so when he had, his brother, half-brother Amnon killed, he ran away to the house of Geshur. Now, Geshur is, the relevance of that is the fact that his mother is from Geshur and his father and his grandfather was the king of Geshur. It's a province to the northeast of Israel. And there he stayed there for three years. And during this time, scripture says that David longed to go out to Absalom, but he never did. And we are never told actually if he did anything to reconcile the relationship. But then King David's general, Joab, was ultimately responsible for bringing Absalom back to Jerusalem. And even then, Absalom was not permitted to enter King David's presence, but he lived in a house on his own. He lived in this way, presumably never contacting or being contacted by his father for 2 years. And finally, the silence was broken. And again, because of the doing of the general of King David, Joab, he interceded and he spoke to King David. And King David invited his son over. And ultimately, this peace did not last. We learned that this peace did not last, possibly because it's not written why. But it is assumed by the scholar writers that possibly because Absalom felt absence in his heart because his father made him stay away from the palace for 2 years while he was back in Jerusalem. And he knew that his father knew that he was back because it was he was instructed to come back by Joab, who said his father knew about this. And but within Absalom's heart, And this kept on for 4 years. He lived in Jerusalem for 4 years. And during that time, it says that conspiracy strengthened in Absalom's heart. And his followers grew steadily, such that King David began to fear for his own life. And it is also written that of all the challenges King David had, we all know that King David had many challenges, various kings, various opposition and all that. They said the opposition that he feared most was the time when Absalom wanted to usurp his throne. And so this was the most fearful time for King David ever. In the entire writings of the Bible, this was the most fearful time for him. And when King David learned about this and he heard that how much momentum this attempt by Absalom gathered to usurp his throne, King David actually ran away. He gathered some of his men and he ran away. And the attempt on the throne by Absalom was counted when because King David, when he fled, he left some of his servants, his concubines, and he also left two of his advisors. One of his advisors advised Absalom not to make an attempt on the troops, Because King David had already fled. But it was a way of sort of like quelling the irregularities that was happening in the royal household. Then Absalom, in a way to show his strength, he took over the palace and he started sleeping with his father's concubines. Yeah. And this was considered a very unforgivable act. And then he laid plans to immediately pursue the throne, which he did. And he also very shortly at Hebron erected a memorial in his name. And because he said that he didn't have any son to carry his name. We know that Absalom had two sons and a daughter. But at one point it is just written, so the entire detail is not, history is not so detailed in the Bible. But it's at one time he writes that it's only his daughter that stands to inherit from him. And so it is assumed by the scholar writers that his two sons died at a very young age, that they died. Then King David's men then decided, you know what, this is hogwash. We can't allow our king to be in hiding and not to be on his throne. And then they gathered and they decided they're going to attack Absalom. And they made an agreement with King David and they said, he was not to be part of it. And King David asked for them, please be merciful over my son Absalom. Be gentle with him and don't kill him. Well, the men of King David went in and they battled with Absalom and his men. And Absalom in running away from this battle because they were losing. It was said he had long golden locks of hair. And in riding on his horse, unfortunately his hair got caught in a tree. And he was unhorsed, so his horse was running away without him. And Joab, King David's general, found Absalom hanging from the tree by his hair, and then he killed him. They said that the celebration of the victory was not sweet; it was bitter. It was as if they had not won a battle. So King David mourned the loss of his son Absalom, and he mourned so grievously. That he started not acting as a king. And again, only after admonishment from Joab did he gather his pieces and he started acting kingly again. So that's the background of the story, that King David was running away from his son and everything that has transpired and the irregularities that happened in the royal house and the battle that took place. And there's one thing that's standing out from all of this, but we're going to get to the one thing that's standing out from all of this very quickly now. The question that I have this morning is, why didn't King David punish his son Amnon for sleeping with his sister, for sleeping with his daughter, with his half-sister, with his daughter Tamar, for raping her? And why did he allow the situation to just get out of hand as the way it did? Again, not much is written about why King David did not punish Amnon, but it is assumed that after the sordid story of Amnon and Tamar is part of the disintegration of King David's family after his sin with Bathsheba. We all know what happened with Bathsheba, where King David lied and he slept with Bathsheba and he had a husband killed. He actually had him sent to the front lines to ensure that he was killed. And it is assumed by the scholar writers that King David felt that because he had a sin similar to his son, to Amnon, he wasn't in a position to, perhaps felt he wasn't in a position to judge, and he didn't know how to act. He felt he was not qualified to judge Amnon for what he has done, although he sinned against his own family. And that led to many things. That led to many, many things. Another reason, it is also written why he didn't punish him, is that a possible reason is that there was no witness to the crime, because Absalom's friend, Jonadab, had carefully orchestrated the crime to avoid the possibility of witnesses. He actually gave him a good plan with regards to how he should fake his illness. When his father comes to his bed, say to his father that, you know what, I need my sister here at my bedside. And when everybody left, he asked for everybody to leave, and his father felt, okay, his son is now safe because his sister's taking care of him. Then he took advantage of the situation. But regardless of the situation, and regardless of the reasons, King David didn't act against Amnon, and Absalom took it upon himself to avenge his, to avenge what happened to his sister, because Absalom was very, very close to Tamar. And he decided to avenge what has happened to Tamar by having his brother killed. But the question that I have, and the thought that arose in my mind, and this is the book, the Bible according to the Book of Will. It's my interpretation. My interpretation is a question, basically. Did all of this not perhaps take place because of the neglect of action by King David? It's not just my thinking. It is also the thinking of the scholar writers that I researched, that the question is, why didn't King David act in this regard? And one of the clear aspects that comes about in King David not acting is the fact that in as many challenges that he faced in his life and as very many severe adversaries that he had, King David always, always, and that's the reason why he's referred to as the man after God's own heart. That's why God spoke those words over him. It's because of his love for God. King David always loved God, regardless of the fact that he sinned, regardless of the fact that he failed, like human beings do, like all we do as well. We all always fail. There's always a circumstance in which we fail, where we come short, not because of any fault of our own, because we are not perfect in our actions, in our human actions, in our human responses. We are not perfect, and in some instances, King David respected in a very humanly way. With his lust after Bathsheba and some of the things that he did wrong. However, the one thing that made God always speak the words over him, because God spoke these words over King David after the fact that he was a sinner too, that he was a man after his own heart. It was because King David always ran back to God. I mean, of the 150 Psalms, over half of the Psalms are attributed to King David, where he just lays bare his heart, where we can actually see his relationship with God, where he runs to God when he's got any adversity, when he runs to God when he's got any challenge, when he runs to God when he wants to praise, when he runs to God when he feels weak, when he runs to God when he feels as if he's not being supported, when he runs to God when he feels that the cause that he's driving is not supported by the masses, when he runs to God when he feels that other kings are judging him unjustly, when he runs to God when he's outnumbered, when he runs to God when he's overpowered by other armies. He always just keeps on running to God. And that's the telltale sign of the lifestyle and the characteristic of King David, that he always kept on running back to God. And regardless what circumstance or challenge he faced, he ran back to God. However, when we read, and I verified as well through reading the entire teachings of 2 Samuel, with regards to the actions, because there's a lot more detail of this whole circumstance in 2 Samuel, that it's not written anywhere, it's not captured anywhere, that during this challenge with his son Amnon raping his daughter Tamar and his other son Absalom acting against Amnon, did King David run to God and ask for God's advice? And my assumption is that, again, he felt perhaps self-conscious with regards to the fact that he had a sexual sin in his life as well. So what am I getting at? What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that sometimes we commit sin. Sometimes we do things wrong because that we are human beings. And we are not always in the presence of mind to realize that we are spiritual beings living, having a human experience. So we live our lives predominantly as human beings and sometimes having a spiritual experience. And yet it is displayed by King David, the man after God's own heart, that he was living as a human being with a spiritual experience. He omitted running to God when he was challenged with this family struggle. And because of the lack of him running to God, he didn't know what to do. He couldn't act. He couldn't do his duties. He couldn't do his delegation as father. He couldn't act and he couldn't punish Amnon. He couldn't prevent the fact that Absalom, couldn't prevent Absalom killing his brother Amnon. He couldn't save his daughter. And he knew, King David knew that his son Amnon was lusting after his sister. King David knew this. So, I'm not trying to scathe King David. What I'm trying to say is there's enough reason to believe that King David acted normally. He acted like a man. And he did not seek God. And he didn't ask for his counsel like he always does. And I firmly believe that all of this could have been averted if King David acted like against his children, and he acted with his children in the same way that he acted with all adversities. And he didn't. And the crux is that when his son, one son, Absalom, wanted to usurp his kingdom, then he realized this situation is so bad, it's as if he's facing just another enemy. And the reason why, I suppose, why he feared Absalom most than all of his adversaries was the fact that it was his son. He had love for him, he cared for him, and I suppose any father would not want to act against, in a lethal way, act against your own child. And but all glory to God. He then soon realized he can't do this on his own. And then he wrote the psalm. And in writing the psalm, it's the same way like P. Sam explained to us during the teaching of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. How structured the prayer of the Lord is that we first run to God and give Him praise. We first acknowledge His kingship. We acknowledge who He is, because that's how Jesus taught the disciples to pray and basically taught us and still teaching us how to pray. Give glory to His kingdom. Give glory to His name. Give glory to His word. And then when we're done giving God all the glory and giving Him all the praise, then we run to Him with all our challenges. And it's exactly the same format when King David speaks in Psalm 3, that he gives glory to God, that he acknowledges Him in his kingship. He acknowledges His throne, and then he speaks of his adversaries. And then he says, but who are they? Just who are they? Then he says, they are nothing, because you've smitten them on their cheek. You have shattered their teeth. And he says then, we experience the reassurance that he gets from the word, where he says, I go to bed and I lay down to sleep. And I awoke, and he wakes up with a triumphant heart. Meaning that when he, just after he ran to God, after giving God praise, acknowledging his throne, he realized, why am I stressed over this? You say, Lord, that you take care of me. And then he acknowledges God and he says, you cover me, you envelop me, you close me in your arms. And you, and even in the face of 10,000s, I will not fear, because you say you cover me. And it's also very, directly expressed in Psalm 91 and Psalm 92, where he also writes of God's protection and the strength that God gives him, where King David writes. So in writing the psalm, then he realizes that, man, what have I done here? I've not run to my source. He realizes that he didn't run to the source. And then after he ran to the source, he had the courage to deal with the situation properly, discussed with his men. His men went in, they took over the circumstance and the situation. And yes, he mourned and he grieved badly. And he grieved like someone who didn't know God. And again, he was admonished by a brother that is sometimes good. It's sometimes good being admonished by a brother in your life that, you know what? Start acting proper now. It's over now. You were hurt. It wasn't nice, but act proper now. So, what I want to say to you this morning, and what I want to encourage you with this morning, stemming from Psalm 3, stemming from the life of King David, and the circumstance around his family, is an encouragement from Proverbs 3 verse 5. And in all that you do, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. For I believe that in that circumstance, King David was leaning on his own understanding, and it was quite clear he had a lack of understanding. And he leaned on his own understanding and he was challenged and he couldn't deal with the situation. But the minute he ran to the Lord and he trusted Him again with all his heart, like we know the characteristic of King David, and he trusted the Lord with all his heart and he sung the Lord's praises, the Lord could give him wisdom and give him direction, and the situation was then salvaged. So I want to encourage all of us this morning that when running to God as King David did, he was running to God for God's glory. He was running to God for God's glory to be revealed. God's glory gets revealed through us. God's glory gets revealed when we trust in Him with all our heart and with all our mind, and we lean not on our own understanding. And when we sing the praise song, you know, God, show me your glory. Let's have it in our hearts and our minds that we're seeking God in all aspects of our lives for His glory to be revealed. For it is written in Isaiah 43 verse 7 that where it says, God has created us for His glory. And in context with other verses, it can be said that man glorifies God because through man, God's glory can be seen in things such as love, music, heroism, and so forth. All the daily aspects of our lives, God's glory can be seen through the things that we do. So when we say, God, show us your glory, it is when we run to God and say, we trust in you, God. We love you, Lord. You are the King. You are the King of our lives. You are the cause of our salvation. You are our Redeemer through Christ Jesus. And God is able then to speak to us, imparting wisdom to us, and we are able to see clearer where we were struggling to see. So my encouragement again is trust in the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your mind, and lean not on your own understanding. That's my message for this morning. So I'm going to ask Brother Ernie to just lead us in a song of worship. And for us to reflect, basically take a moment to reflect. How many challenges have we faced and how many challenges have we resolved on our own? And sometimes, you know, the Lord is gracious. We are able because of the wisdom that He's imparted to us through life, and we don't always acknowledge that it's His wisdom that He's given us, that we are able to solve a situation. But just compare that to the situations where we immediately ran to the Lord and asked Him for His advice and asked Him for Him to guide us. How quickly that situation was resolved.
Walk in the room.
Let's just give praise to Father God Almighty for His glory to be ever amongst us and ever present. And thank, let's just give praise to God that when we call upon Him, that He's never failing us, that He never fails us. It's us that fails Him not to ask for His presence, not to seek His presence, not to seek His face. And Father God Almighty, this morning, we just want to come before You, Lord, and say, Father God, impress upon our hearts, imprint upon us, Father God Almighty. Make it part of our DNA that we ought to know, Lord God Almighty, to run to You. We know that You make it expressly clear in Your word, Father God Almighty. But Father God, this morning, renewed in our hearts, Father God, we just give a commitment to You, Father God, that we desire to be with You and in Your face and in Your presence, Father. We desire to be in the presence of Your glory, Father God. And we, through our human actions, Father God, we fail You in that sometimes. And we repent that, Father God. But Father God Almighty, May your glory ever be present, as you say in your word, Father God, when we seek you. And we thank you, Lord, that when we run to you, that you give us your glory, that you show us your glory, that your Shekinah glory comes, Father God, in the fullness of your spirit, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us through the life of a man that's after your own heart, the life of King David, that we are not to fail you, Lord, that even King David, when he failed to run to you, was without wisdom and without direction and understanding of a situation. We speak, Father God, that we will act and do our duties and perform what we need to do, do our delegation, but doing so, Father God, by running to you. In Jesus' mighty name. So let's do our duty. Let's seek Father's face in praying for those with cancer in our community, those faced with a challenge. And there's many people on the list there, and that's been on that list for a while, but we keep on, we're having faith, we believe in and we run to God. And we particularly think about Calvin, who has been facing some side effects this past few days, and we just run to God and seek his glory for these people with cancer. We also think about the people in our community suffering from other illnesses, and we think about their salvation as well, as we run to Father, and we just keep on believing and we keep on trusting. But in our believing and trusting and asking Father, let's also just thank him, because there's nothing from stopping us thanking Father for his completed works. Just sometimes it just takes time to manifest in our lives, but we just thank him for the completed works, for these people's bodily condition, but also for their spiritual condition, in Jesus' name. We also think about other sufferers in our community of other infirmities, challenged by various other aspects in their lives. But again, we also think about their spirit man. And we thank God for both the body and the spirit in the healing. And we just call upon manifestation to materialize in our society. We also think of our sister, Liz Agewa, who's looking for a job. And I also like to add that Sister Liz has been going through a couple of interviews for a very sought-after position at a sought-after academic institution, and she's more than halfway of that, gone through that phase now. We praise God for her having gone so far, and let's just keep on giving God praise, because she's been abiding for a while for a job, and we've been abiding for a while praying for her. We just keep on giving God praise for her to see through that process, and for everything to go successful, and for Father to open the door for her and present to her a beautiful position. Today we think about, our mission focus in North Korea. We think about, open doors for ministry. And I also like to just bring our attention to the fact that there's a lot of political gathering taking place in North Korea at the moment. President Donald Trump has also traveled last night to Asia, where they're going to discuss North Korea. And we just speak for God's kingdom to come over that situation. And for God's kingdom to also just present open doors for ministry in that environment, because as much as there's political need, I think the spiritual need is even more severe. And we also think of all our missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia, the persecuted churches, not just in Southeast Asia, but also in the Middle East. We also think of SP weekend gatherings, the prison outreach, the drug rehab outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, the SP youth, Yahweh, SP Indonesia services and activities, GIC, PMC, and all meetings. We just present everything as a body, as part of our body, we just present to Father. We thank Him and just speak for blessing over that. We think about the house churches gathering today, Fortress, Marwan, Southside and Westside. And this morning, we also particularly think about the women's retreat they departed last night, and we thank God for what is taking place then, what has taken place already, and what is still going to take place. And we just push in the Spirit and believing for the Spirit of God to just move through the speaker, Pastor Benjamin's wife, Sun Yi, I think. And we just stand in spirit with them, and we just push and push and push for them. In the name of Jesus, we push, Lord. We push. We can just all, you know, carry on with our prayer time, and thank you very much for attending this morning.